Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
With that familiar theme song, we're reminded it's time once again for the Harvest Time Gospel Broadcast. This is a daily broadcast with special emphasis on missions and world evangelization under the direction of Dr. Stennett Ballew of Resaca, Georgia. And now, here is Brother Ballew and today's broadcast.
Thank you and greetings, radio friends. What a joy and privilege it is to come to your place of listening and share together with you another Harvest Time broadcast. I praise the Lord for this open door, this heaven-bought privilege that our Lord allows us day after day together by the radio, open His eternal Word, and study the Word of God together. I trust that if it's at all possible, you'll take the time out, get your Bible, and follow along with us as we study the Word of God today. We're turning in our Bible to the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 5, and we're looking again at verse number 8, where the Word of God said, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." We're continuing our study in the thought of going on with God. We looked at the possibility of going on with God. We looked at the pictures of men who went on with God. Then we looked at the process of God taking us beyond ourselves and enabling us to go on farther with God. And then we looked at the procedure that God works in our life to progress us on with God. Now then, we're looking at the problem of going on with God. As we were leaving the broadcast on yesterday, I shared with you that there is opposition in going on with God. I say to you, first of all, that Satan himself opposes our going on with God. Here we see in verse number 8 where the Bible says, "For you and I who are saved, to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." When I see the word adversary, I'm reminded that Satan is our opponent. He is our opposing force. When we start to make a move forward for God, he is there to hinder us. And though I'm not a real sports fan, when I look at the football game, I see a good picture of what this word adversary means. The two teams get on the field. One of them kicks the ball to the other. The other receives that football. And then their goal is to run that football to the other end of the football field and score a touchdown. Now, perhaps anyone playing on a football team could run that 100-yard dash and make a touchdown if it were not for but one problem. That is, there is an adversary. There is an opposing team. And those fellows are coming at them, and they have one goal in mind: to prevent that person that's got the ball from crossing the goal line. So they're out to stop him in the journey that he's making toward the goal line. That is exactly what we see here. When God calls us to go on, just as sure as we start to make a move forward, Satan will be there to oppose it. Sometimes I hear people say, "Well, preacher, every time I try to do anything for God, the devil fights it." Can I ask you a question? What do you expect out of your adversary? What do you expect out of your opposer? You do not expect Satan to sit down and let you make progress in going on with God without trying to stop you, do you? If you do, you're deceived in your thinking. So there is that adversary, the devil, that opposes us in going on with God. But not only does Satan oppose us, but society opposes us. Friend, the world that we live in, the society, the culture that we live in is not friendly toward this matter of going on with God. Rather, instead of being friendly toward us going on with God, it is opposing everything that is good and godly. There is so much competition today, even with church services. And sad to say, but many so-called Christians have allowed the things of this world to come before the things of God and the church. But my friend, I want to tell you, Satan opposes you going on with God. Society opposes you going on with God. But then may I say number three, that self, your own flesh, opposes you going on with God. Now, it's a great day when you learn that the society that we live in, and then the flesh that we live in, are enemies of God. They have never been and never will be a friend to spiritual advancement in our life. So if we're going to go on with God, we must overcome the opposition of Satan, of society, and of self. I must overcome my will. I must overcome my own wicked flesh with all of its desires. And I want to look at maybe four or five different people in the Word of God and an area of problem that they encountered that is very common to you and I today. If you have your Bible, I want you to turn back with me to the book of Numbers, chapter number 20. And we're going to look at Moses, the meek man, the great man Moses, the emancipator, the man who led Israel out of Egypt and into the wilderness. And through the wandering years in the wilderness, Moses dealt with this group of people and many problems that they encountered. Moses is recognized as the meekest man that ever lived. But yet, here Moses runs into a problem in this matter of going on with God. And when I read this, it looks like such a small problem. But I want to tell you, this problem that Moses encountered may be small in the eyes of man, but it was big in the eyes of God. And it cost Moses a big price. And friend, many people today will commit the same sin that Moses committed and will die in the wilderness and never get on to finish the work that God has called them to do. Notice, if you will, please, in the book of Numbers, chapter number 20, the Bible said in verse number 7, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beast drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord, as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, Hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with the rod he smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beast also." Here we have Moses committing a sin that will keep him from entering into Canaan, the promised land. It will cause him to die in the wilderness. Let me identify Moses' sin, and then I'll look at the story that's before us today. The problem that kept Moses from going on with God and finishing the job that God had given him to do was willful sin. For Moses, it was willful sin that kept him from going on and being all that God wanted him to be. Now, I know in our society there is that philosophy that you balance the good against the bad. Friend, I want to tell you, when you look at the life of Moses, he did hundreds of things that were good and great and godly. But this one willful sin kept him from going into the land of Canaan and finishing the job that God had called him to do. In this generation we live in, we have forgotten how that God despises willful sin. The Bible said in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 10, verse number 26, the Bible said, "If we sin willfully after we come to the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. You say, preacher, what is willful sin? It's to know what God wants you to do and refuse to do it, or do it as Moses did, a different way. Then it's to know that God does not want you to do something and go ahead and do it anyway. A willful sin is sinning against knowledge. Now notice Moses' simple directions. God said to him, speak to the rock. That's very simple, very kindergarten. But I remind you that most people mess up in simple situations, not complicated ones. God said, Moses, speak to the rock. Then notice the significance of this declaration. The rock is a type of Christ. He's already been smitten once back over at Horeb. That smiting was a picture of Christ being crucified. And once crucified, you do not crucify Christ again. When you want something from him, you simply speak to him. Instead of speaking to the rock, Moses smites the rock not just once, but twice. So we see God's simple directions. Then we see Moses' shameful disobedience. Notice his disrespectful address. The Bible said in verse number 10, and Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of the rock? Now, friend, I want to tell you, when you get that kind of attitude against the work of God and what God has directed you to do, you're in bad trouble. He was disrespectful to the people of God. Then notice his deceitful actions. Instead of speaking to the rock, he smote it twice. But I want you to notice this. The people did not know about Moses' sin, but God knew about it, and Moses knew about it. You see, the results were the same. The water came out abundantly, and the people drank of it, and their beasts drank of it. And if I could put that in today's language, they would shout it out, man, what a preacher! He smote that rock twice, and look at all the water we've got. But I want you to notice in verse number 12, the Bible said, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because you believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. Oh, do you hear what God says to Moses? Moses, because of your willful disobedience, you cannot go any farther. As far as I know, this is the last time that Moses ever used this rod. Friend, listen to me today. You commit willful sin after you're saved, and it's spiritual suicide. God will not allow you to go on with God when you commit the sin of willful sin. The word of God said to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. If you know God's will, don't rebel, don't refuse. Walk in the light that God has given you. Father, take the word, use it to your glory. I pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
Well, I trust you enjoyed the broadcast today. How I praise the Lord for this open door, this heaven-bought privilege that our Lord allows us day after day to gather by the radio and study His Word together. Let me encourage you that you pray for the broadcast, that the Lord would bless it and use it to the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, I want to encourage you that you write to us and share with us in the financial burden of the radio ministry. Simply address that letter to Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. That's Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. And be sure to join us each weekday, Monday through Friday, at this same time. God bless you until the next broadcast.
Adonai.